Our study tonight is out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 29 through 36. Christ's identity as God's Savior, seen in his advice to tribulation saints. If Jesus is the true God, Savior of the world, we should expect him to go beyond predicting the great tribulation to disciple those who will trust in him at that time when they see his words begin to come to pass and they realize that Jesus is God's true Savior and Messiah. See, Jesus knew that the generation of his era was going to reject him, was in the process of rejecting him. But in grace, he knew that there were many people who would live, and even many Jewish people who would live during the Great Tribulation when all sorts of traumatic events were occurring and God would get the attention of people, and then they would recall the words of Jesus. And they would then believe that his words were coming true. So he had some advice for those people many generations advance. And this, of course, indicates that he is a loving and a caring Lord, and he's sensitive to the needs of his flock throughout the ages. Well, Jesus did this in Luke chapter 21, verses 29 to 36, and we apply this to a similar situation that we face regarding prophecy today. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Luke chapter 21, verses 29 to 36. And Jesus spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, I'll finish, that's where the passage finishes at that particular point. Okay? Well, after his prediction of the great tribulation in Luke chapter 21, verses 8 to 28, Jesus gave instruction to those who would see his words about that era begin to be fulfilled and thus realize that he was to be heeded. So that instruction is clarified in verses 29 to 36, the passage that we read here tonight. Now, Jesus taught that when the tribulation period saints begin to see his words about their era be fulfilled, they were to take a lesson from a fig tree. When fig leaves sprout in April, the summer is near. Actually, the first thing to sprout, we had some friends in Dallas, Texas many years ago. They had a fig tree. And the first thing that grows is actually figs. Right out of the very top of the tree they grow up. That's called the first fruits of the figs. And often people like to take those fruits and pick them and so forth. And then after that, the leaves come out. And then later, the fuller fruits come out in the summertime. So anyway, when the Great Tribulation era saints see the predictions that Jesus had made of their era start to be fulfilled, they were to know that his kingdom was near. Now, Christ then predicted that that generation would not pass until all his words on the tribulation were fulfilled, and in view of great misunderstanding on this statement, would clarify it as follows. You'll remember, I just read the verse, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. That has been a real troublesome verse for many Christians, because they thought that that generation meant the generation of Jesus' day. Well, of course, the generation of Jesus' day has long since passed, and we haven't had these particular events occur. We haven't had the stellar changes in the stellar space and so forth. But let's see what's going on. Some think he predicted the generation of his disciples would see the AD 70 destruction of Jerusalem's temple. But this view fails to reflect Jesus' predictions in verse 11 and verse 25 about huge changes in stellar space, changes that have yet to occur. See, if you go back, verse 11, he said there shall be great earthquakes in various places and famines and diseases and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from the heavens. Now, we've seen at various times famines and diseases and some earthquakes, but we haven't seen huge momentous signs in the heavens. But in those days, there are going to be very traumatic changes that occur in the heavens. They'll probably see meteorites falling. They'll probably see huge changes. Maybe some of the constellations move out of their place, which has not happened in human history yet, and that will really terrify a lot of people. And then if you look down also to verse 31, Verse 25 is another verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Apparently the oceans are going to be very, very violent with huge waves constantly. Now I know around the Horn of South Africa you have sometimes the roughest weather or roughest waves you can find. But that will be common all over the place. You'll find it out here in the Atlantic. You go out here to the Sound, the Long Island Sound, and you're going to have huge waves that you would expect to see out in Hawaii or something. And that's going to make people, what's going on? Well, there are going to be huge changes that occur. Well, that hasn't happened. So Jesus has to mean something other than that generation of his time. The context shows that Jesus spoke of the generation when all these things would occur, that specific generation would see the arrival of the long-sought kingdom. Now, that view is preferred because it fits Jesus' contextual intent to encourage believers who lived in the Great Tribulation. See, when people start to live in the Great Tribulation, they're going to say, you know, how long is this going to go on? And Jesus is saying, when you begin to see that, be encouraged because you're going to see all of that within your lifetime and you'll actually see the arrival of the kingdom. So what you need to be doing when you see all these things occur is, instead of losing your cool, you need to start planning for the kingdom because God has to allow it to get really rough because he has to do a number on the Antichrist's kingdom and so forth so that he can judge it, so he can bring in the kingdom. So you're supposed to have a different view of what's going on as a believer than an unbeliever. An unbeliever will be terrified. But a believer will say, hey, this is getting exciting. Christ is getting ready to come back. You know, so let's get our act together. So that's the way we take it. Now, Jesus added that heaven and earth would not pass away until all his words were fulfilled in verse 33. So, tribulation saints were to trust Christ's great faithfulness when they saw his words begin to be fulfilled. Now, in that particular time of great trial, Jesus warned believers would be tempted to become distracted from godly living by the affairs of this life that focused on material excesses and substance abuse or on anxieties due to the trauma of the time. You notice in verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting actually means dissipation or excesses and drunkenness, which would be substance abuse, and the cares of this life. So that day comes upon you unawares. Now you can understand people are going to want to drown out their fears by getting drunk or taking drugs, getting spaced out. Or they're going to be very, very anxious. In fact, the Bible tells us during the Great Tribulation people are going to call out for the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath of God. So it's going to be a traumatic. People's hearts will be failing them. A third of the world will die from famine. A third of the world will die from, you know, the seas turning to blood. And I mean, just on and on and on. A great big star, actually a meteor, is going to, you know, fall into the ocean and create traumatic events. So anyway, there's going to be a tremendous tendency to get distracted because of what's going on in the world from the fact that the kingdom of Christ is coming. So what God's people need to do is to watch out for that worldly preoccupation. Such a worldly way of thinking would be a spiritual snare for the ungodly who would not be prepared for Christ's return. So the godly were to watch out for these distractions that they not cease looking for and living for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. That's why he said in verse 36, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When a person is a believer, if he's not martyred, of course, he will need to demonstrate his faith by trusting in the Lord faithfully and looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not destined for the Great Tribulation, but the reason this passage has tremendous application for us is that even though we're going to be raptured before the tribulation, there are signals in prophecy for our era that we should heed and respond by similar godly living in our day. It's amazing if you listen to talk radio or even to people in the secular world, they see events occurring, whether it's the spill in the Gulf Coast, you know, with the oil, the biggest catastrophe of oil leakage that we've ever had. whether they see what's going on in government or the politics. We've had a judge make a ruling, I don't know if you've heard about Enfield, where they won't let the high school meet in the church building because of separation of church and state. And the building seats 3,000 people. Now the kids can't invite all the relatives that they wanted to. And it's created a big uproar. And so they're trying to appeal this thing, but they don't want to push it too hard because if they lose it, then the ACLU, which is suing them, can sue them for damages and collect huge millions of dollars. So there's a big runaround, and people are distraught that they're losing their freedoms and everything else. So, you know, if you follow the world's way of thinking, you can get real upset. And that's basically the same kind of temptation that they're going to have during the Great Tribulation period. So what are some specific prophecies that we are facing today that we are seeing fulfilled that we need to respond to? Well, one of those prophecies is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And this prophecy is about the latter days of the church. Believe it or not, I've had interactions with Christians in our church in the last week. Three different times they have shared with me challenges that they're facing because of this passage. Chapter 3, verse 1, this also know that in the latter days, that's the latter days of the church, hard times literally shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, slanderous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, which means not separated from evil, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means lack of self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the spiritual dynamics thereof. From such withdraw yourself. As I said, in the last week, three different Christians have talked to me about this. They've run into people. Sometimes it's a relative situation. Sometimes it's an associate at work. Sometimes I even heard of one situation was another Christian who talked in such a difficult way towards the other Christian, actually brought that Christian to tears. Then the person realized that they'd overbacked and they tried to back off. But and that's been a history in that situation. Well, the Bible tells us that the end times of church history would be marked by an increase of troublesome people. And we've seen this prediction come true in various ways. Of course, we've had a rise in terrorism. Terrorism is just typical right now. So we are to avoid such folk. A call believers I know increasingly have told me that they have learned to heed. So the word avoid means to shrink back. It's given in the middle voice. And it means shrink back as far as you need to for your protection. It doesn't mean that you hate a person like that. But you don't have to expose yourself constantly to hurt by that kind of a person. Shrink back from them. Now, we have also observed how the last church era, the Revelation 3, 14 to 22 Laodicean church era, would mark our time, and we've repeatedly testified how we see that prophecy coming true. Today, my wife was sharing with me how a Christian family that we know is facing certain trials. In fact, she actually said, you know, it sounds so much like the Revelation 3 Laodicean era. And I said, yep, been there, done that. But that's true. We're seeing that come to pass. So, we, like the Great Tribulation era saints to come, must be encouraged that our Lord's reward for obeying him is near. That we must then trust the validity of the scripture that made these proven predictions. And that we thus avoid worldly materialism and anxiety in our lives, but fervently focus on doing God's will to prepare to give an account of ourselves upon seeing him. You know, as we see this happen, we see more and more troublesome people arise, and we see more and more evidence of the fulfillment of that prophecy in Revelation 3. The Lord is saying, well, by now you know my word is true. You see it's coming more and more to pass. You see it's more and more truthful. Okay, that means that you need to be that much more diligent about being busy about the assignment that I have for you, because you will stand before men. You will give an account. So be encouraged at the same time. Be motivated. You know, crack the whip. Stay with the calling that I've given you. So, Jesus' admonition to Great Tribulation era saints who will see his word begin to be fulfilled is an admonition that we should apply in our response to Bible prophecies that we see coming to pass for our era. As we see Bible prophecies begin to be fulfilled for our era, may we be encouraged of God's imminent reward for obedience and trust the validity of Scripture that is signaled by such fulfillments of prophecy. May we consequently live apart from worldly materialism and anxiety, focusing on heeding the Lord as those who will give an account to Him when we see Him. I want to share with you how the Lord applied this in my own life when I was doing this lesson. I do my prayer meeting lesson, the first draft of it, and the first draft of the morning worship service of the next week. I do this, do it on Tuesday. And as you know, we had these thunderstorms. And the Lord has many times used thunderstorms to communicate to me, specifically the lesson of staying faithful to the ministry to which He's called me. As I was about halfway through this lesson, the first round of the thunderstorms came, and there was a huge racket just outside of the church, thunder claps and everything, and actually made me start a little bit. And I was reminded of this lesson. I thought, well, that's interesting. I get home, and I decided I want to go out. It was still a little balmy, so I decided I'm going to take the, even though I couldn't see any real rain clouds when I was at the house, I'm going to take the umbrella with me just in case it showers, because you never know. And as I started walking down the road, I saw, you know, it was kind of a dark cloud, but it was low on the horizon, and I thought, Well, I walk out, and I was going to mail some letters up by Circle Drive, and I had no sooner gotten out to Route 4, and then the sky exploded. Rain came down. And I had to put the umbrella. It was blowing so hard, almost this way, you know, in front of me. And everything from my knees on down got soaked. In fact, the rain started coming through the umbrella. You've seen that. Oh, that was funny. In fact, one guy, some young guys, they were in an SUV. They looked over. They felt sorry for me. They said, "Do you want to ride? We'll take you back wherever you came from." You know, I said, "No, that's all right." But I had a good time out there because several times the Lord's caught me and Medine out when we've been walking on Lake Harwinton Road, and it's rained. And He's used that as an indication in regards to events that have happened earlier in the day that He wants us to remain faithful at His ministry. Well, here He did it again. And it was absolutely clear to me as to what the Lord was doing. He was hammering this lesson home. So He was saying, "Don, it's all right for you to teach us, but you better make sure that you apply it." And that's true. The pastor has to eat his own cooking before he gives the dish out to the people. So I see this as the Lord indicating to me, well, make sure that you practice this, Don, yourself. You need to be optimistic. You need to look forward to my coming, but you also need to make sure that you stay busy doing what I have called you to do and don't give up on that.